Hey, so let's take it around 10 lines down to the word Lema Masaile. I think we've been talking about Achav and Yoshua Melech and eating, and we got into this discussion about whether or not you're allowed to eat from the Shechita of a Mumar, from Mumar Lavodesh Kochavim, whether or not we trust the Shechita or we don't trust the Shechita. So the Gemara says, Lema Masaile, let's bring the following proof that you're allowed to eat from the Shechita of an Oved Kochavim. A mumar lo vet chacham, I should say. So the Gemara says, quote the pasuk. The pasuk says in Malachim Aleph, the garz Eliyahu Hanavi, va'orvim mivin lo lechem a baser baboker, v'lechem a baser ba'erev. Each morning, each evening, the ravens would bring meat and bread to Eliyahu Hanavi. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, mibei tabachei de'achav. Where would the meat be coming from? Where would the ravens travel and transport the meat from? It would come from the slaughterhouse of Achav. So we see from here that Achav, even though he was a house of Mumar Lavodos Kochavim, we still can trust their Shechitas, and therefore it's acceptable. And the Gemara says that you can't bring a rye from that whole Ma'is of Eliyahu HaNavi. That was the Alpi Dibur Shin. That was based on the Dibur. That was shiny. That was different. You can't bring rye from that special case. Gemara Rashi says, Alpi Dibur Shiny means that Kadosh Baruch Hu Tiru Lefisha. It's possible that those were not good Shechitas, and the Basar wasn't really good. But it was a harasha. Eliyahu Navi was busy hiding based on the whole Maisa Shehaya Baal, and he needed to hide from everyone, and the rain wasn't coming, and he got in a fight with the Achav, and so fine. So Kadosh Baruch had a special heter, harasha, that you're allowed to eat that particular meat. But in general, it's very likely that you can trust, you can rely on the Shechita of a Mumar Lavodesh Chachavim. Then the Gemara says, once we spoke about the Indian of the Orvim, these ravens, with the guards of Eliyahu HaNavi, the Gemara wants to know, my Orvim, what exactly are these Orvim that were bringing the meat and the bread? So says the Gemara, Amar Ravina, Orvim Amish, they were actually ravens. That's what the Rashi tells us, that when Noach sent out the ravens at the beginning after the Mabul, the ravens came back in because this wasn't their tafke. Their tafke was to bring Basar and Lechem to Eliyahu HaNavi. This wasn't their time to do their mission in life yet. So Pashup Shad is that the Orvim in this story refers to actual ravens. So Amalei Rav Adabar Minyumi, Vidilma Tre Gavri Dehavishmayu Orvim. Maybe Orvim doesn't mean a raven. Maybe it means that were their names. Their names were Raven. This guy was Raven and that one. Two guys whose names were Raven, or Oriv, I guess in Hebrew. That was people were bringing it, not actual birds. Milok Siv, do we not have a similar example? Vayahargu as Orev, Orev Bitsor, Orev, Vezev Gomer. We call people sometimes by animal names. That becomes their name. We have my son's name is Zev. That's a wolf. So we call people by animal names. So maybe their names were Orev and Orev. And they were the ones who were transporting the meat and bread to Eliyahu Navi. So Gemara is Amarle, Vishrami Milsa de Tevayu Havishmayu Orvin? Is it so, is that so likely that two people whose names happened to be Orev would be transporting it? Maybe one guy was Orev, one guy was Zeev, but to have two guys who have the same exact name of Orev, that seems so unlikely. So the Gemara says, Vidilma al Shem Mekomam. Not that their names are Orev, that when they got Bris Mila, their parents call them Orev at the Bris Mila, and they get called up to Leah, it's Orev Ben Ruvain. No. What it means is Orev is really the name of their city. Sometimes people are called the Woodmere guy, the guy from Tinek. But not that that was the actual name. So they call them Orev based on the city they came from. Milo Ksiv, do we not have other examples where people are called by their cities? V'aram Yatsu Gedudim, V'yashu Me'eret Yisrael Nara Kitana. So Gemara says, wait a second, this guy who came from this area, was his name Nara or was his name Katana? Kashalan, Karile Nara, Karile Katana, who was he? So how did, it's the steerer to call him Nara Katana. What was his real name? Rapadas Katana Dibin Nu'urim. His name was really Katana, a little guy, a midget, whatever they're going to call him, a junior. And he was a junior who came from Nu'urim. So we do have times that people are called based on the cities they come from. So maybe Orvim doesn't mean ravens, it means these two people who came from a city called Orev. Gemara says can't be, because Imkain, if we're describing them that they come from the city, the proper grammar should have been Orvayim Mibale. They're two people that came from the city of Orev, and since it doesn't say Orvayim, rather it says Orvim, that indicates that they were actual ravens that's coming out. As a complete side point here, the Gemara calls that person Nara Katana in the Pasuk. Why couldn't we have said the name, he had two names. He was called Nara and Katana. And my name is Yonasan Binyamin. Many people have two names. Why can't there be a double name? So it seems that historically, we never gave a person two names. It only became later in history, the times of the Achrim, that we start giving people two names. But go back to the times of the Tanakh, no one ever had two names. That couldn't even be a suggestion. Some poskim try to bring a raya. I think the Chasam Sofer brings a raya from Yaakov Yisrael. He had a name Yaakov. His name was also called Yisrael. So some try to say, we see that he had two names. Even in the Tanakh, someone had two names. And they say, no, he was never called Yaakov Yisrael at the same exact time. It was either Yaakov or it was Yisrael, but never at the same time. So in Tanakh, we never find anybody who has two names. That's why it couldn't be a suggestion here that Nara Ketana was his double name. There were no such things as double names. What? Tuvokaya. So interesting. They bring a ride. There's one case. Maybe that's the one case where they bring. There is one source they find in Tanakh. Maybe two sources they find in Tanakh. Maybe that's one they bring. I'm not sure. Good thought. Okay, the Gemara then says, Lema Masayile, let's bring a source from the following. Again, we're still trying to prove the point that a Mumar Lavodot Chochavim, we're wondering whether his Shechita is a good Shechita. So Lema Masayile, let's say it's supported from the following. A Kol Shochten Vafilu Kusi Vafilu Ariel Vafilu Yisrael Mumar. Everyone could do a Shechita, even a Kusi could do a Shechita, even a person who's an Ariel who doesn't have a Mila, and even a Yisrael Mumar. So hi Ariel, the guy who's an Ariel, Mehechidami, who's a person who doesn't have a Mila where we would accept his Shechita? Elaim, if you're going to tell me it's a situation where Shemesu Achiv Machmas Mila, his two older brothers had a Mila, they both died. So we say, we're not going to mess around with the third child, so we're going to let the third child go away and go on with life without having a Mila. He's an Ariel. So in that case, he's a high Yisrael Mila Malyahu. He's a real bona fide Jew. He only doesn't have a Mila because of an onus, what happened to his older brothers. But he's a full-fledged Jew. He's not a Mumar. He's not going against it. He really wants to have a Mila. His parents want to give him a Mila, but the Sakana Sinefashas that's there, we don't give him a Mila. So such an Ariel is certainly a Yisrael Ma'alya, and of course, we would accept his Shechita. So what's the case of an Ariel? Elapshita Mumar La'arelus. He's talking about a person who mamish goes against it. He's rebelling. He doesn't want a bris mila. He thinks his whole mila thing doesn't make any sense. He's an Ariel. That's the type of person. He's a mumar l'arelis. So then the Gemara says, Eima seifa vafili so mumar. So if we're saying when it says that an Ariel could do a shchita, and that's really a mumar to arelis, so when it says the very next line of the statement, afili so mumar also, so what's the difference of a yisrael mumar and an Ariel who's also a mumar? So the Gemara asks that question, Vafilu Yisrael Mumar Heichidami, what's the case? E Mumar Ladavar Echad Hainu Mumar Larelos. If it means when it says Yisrael Mumar, he's a Mumar to one particular Aveira, so then that's exactly what a Mumar Larelos is, where he's a Mumar just to that Indian of Mila. So that can't be teaching the same exact din in this very Braisa. Ella, it must be that Lav Mumar Lavodos Kochavim Ucht Rav Anan. It must be when the Braisa says that we accept the Shechita of a Yisrael Mumar, it's referring to a Mumar of a much more serious Aveira, which is Avodas Chachavim. So we see we do accept the Shechita of a Mumar, Avodas Chachavim. Gemara says, lo, that is not the understanding of the Braisa. Rather, it should be as follows. Damar ma, really we hold, if you're a Mumar, Avodas Chachavim, Chamura Avodas Chachavim, that's so severe, is the Aveira of Avodas Chachavim, Shekoa Kofar Ba, Kimoda Avachol Atar Kula. One who accepts Avodah Zara is going against the entire Torah. It's not just you're a Mumar to that particular Avera. A Mumar Avodah Zara is a Mumar L'chola Torah Kula. So that's a much more serious thing. And we see from here that we would not accept the Shechita of a Mumar L'Avodah Tzuchavim. So then what does the Brice mean when it says, even a Yisra Mumar? So Gemara says, Ela Mumar L'Oso Davar Uchderava. What's Mumar L'Oso Davar? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Mumar L'Oso Davar, L'Shechita L'Te'avon. Meaning, Mumar L'Arelos, he's a Mumar L'Arelos, has nothing to do with his Shechita. Even though in that one area he has a problem with Mila, we still would accept his Shechita because they're two different areas. But one might think if he's a Mumar L'Shechita, that he eats L'Te'avon, goes to McDonald's when it's available, so maybe we shouldn't trust him in the world of Kashrus at all. Kamash Milan, we hold like Rava, that even though he's a Mumar L'Te'avon, and he's a big Taiva, can't control it, if he has the options of going a Kosher Shechita or a not Kosher Shechita, he would certainly opt for the Kosher Shechita. So if he's doing a real Shechita, we would trust such a Mumar if it's only L'Te'avon. That's what we learn from the Braisa, in which case there is no Raya from this Braisa, whether or not we accept the Shechita of a Mumar, L'Avodas Kochavim, or not. Gemara then says, Meisiv, he asks the following question. Now we're moving over to the world of Karbanos for a moment. Gemara says, Meisiv, it says, Michem, this is referring to Karbanos, that we only accept some people's Karbanos, not all people's Karbanos. So what do we learn from the word Michem? Michem velo kulchem, only some of the Jews do we accept their Karbanos, but not all of them. So who's excluded? Lehotzi es a Mumar, to exclude a Mumar, that we don't accept the Mumar as a Karban. This is talking about, in particular, a neder or nedava. If a person wants to dedicate a carbon, we don't accept the carbon from a mumar. We'll have to clarify which type of muma we're referring to. Then it says, Mikem and Bachem. So Bachem teaches another drasha. Bachem chalakti lo bu'umos. I only distinguish within you, within Am Yisrael, that there's a difference between a person who's a kashayid and a person who's a muma. But bu'umos, when it comes to the non-Jews, there is no such chiluk, meaning Rashi explains that we accept all nedarim and nedavos from a non-Jew. The halach is you can accept a neder nedava from a guy, and we don't distinguish how what type of rishis he is or what type of tzidkus he has. All types of guy we accept. We only make the chiluk when regards to a yid, whether he's a mumar or whether he's not a mumar. So that chiluk only exists b'chem v'lo bu'umos. Then the pasuk says, min ha-behema. What do we learn from the word min ha-behema? Lahavi, to include even b'nei adam shedomim l'behema. Even people who are similar to animals, we would accept their karbanos. What does it mean, the domim l'behema? Mikan amru mikablin karbanos miposha Yisrael. That we do accept the karbanos of those who violate the Torah. Why? Kadeshi yechazu b'hem shuvah. This way they can accept shuvah. If we don't accept their karbanos, they're going to turn away completely and not come back. So even though they're poshi Yisrael, we said not to worry, bring your karbanos, we're willing to accept them. So this alone, we'll see, is a stira. First we said we don't accept the karbanos of a mumar. Now we're saying we are accepting those who are domim l'behema. And we're not done yet. Then the Gemara says, chutz min ha-mumar u min ha-nasich es ha-yayin u michal shabasas b'farhes. Except for these last three, we don't accept the karbanos from these very severe averos, if they are, again, if they're going to be a mumar, if they're going to be m'nasich yayin tavodah zarah, or the michal shabas b'farhes. So now we're saying a mumar is not accepted. So we have three different stages of the brisa. One brisa says we don't accept the mumar. Second brisa says we do accept the domim l'behema. And third stage says we don't accept that who is a mumar. So what's going on here? The Gemara points out the stira. Ha gufa kasha. This is an internal contradiction. Amris bechem, michem, he said, mikem from you, v'lo kulchem, not all of you. We don't accept karbanos from all of you. L'hotzi es mumar, we don't accept the karban of a mumar. The hadar, but then it retracted and said in the braisa, tani, mikablam karbanos mipos Yisrael. We do accept the karbanos from a posh Yisrael, which sounds like the same thing as a mumar. So Gemara says, "Hello, Kasha, that's not a problem. Reisha mumar lechalatar kula. The Reisha is talking about a person who's a mumar. He rejects all the Torah entirely. That person, we don't accept his karbanos. Metziyasa, the second stage where we accept the karban of Miposha Yisrael, that's referring to mumar ledavar echad. He's just a mumar in one particular area, so we will accept such a karban because we know there's going to be. It won't be so hard for him to come back." But then Ema Seifa, the Seifa says, we don't accept chutz min ha-mumar, u'minasach ha-sayayin, u'michal ha-shabas b'fer hesya. Hi, mumar hechidami. What's the mumar that's being mentioned, that's being referred to in the Seifa? E mumar l'chol ha-tar kula, if it's telling me the mumar that's rejecting all of Torah, hainu reisha. That's what we said the reisha is referring to already. Why repeat the same din in the Seifa? E mumar l'davar echad, if you're telling me it's referring to a mumar that's only in one particular area, kasha mitziyasa. That goes against the mitziyasa, because the mitziyasa we're learning says that mumar l'davar echad, we do accept its karbanos, and now in the Sefer we're going to say, a mumar l'davar echad, we do not accept its karbanos. So el alav hachikamar, is this not the following, is this not the correct reading? Chut min ha-mumar l'nasich ha-zayayin l'chal shabas b'rehesya. That except for these individuals, that alma mumar, so we're not saying mumar is something separate, it means a mumar to menasech hazayin and mechal Shabbos, that's a whole other world teaching me alma. We see from here that mumar, the avodas kochavim, one who's a mumar to avodas zara, is considered as if a having mumar lechalta kula and ends up being a rejection tiyufta derav ana tiyufta, meaning we do not accept the karban of a mumar avodas zara, so too we would not accept the shchita of a mumar l'avodah zarah, because a mumar l'avodah zarah is considered a mumar l'chol ha-Torah kula. Fine. Now, staying on this topic, even though we just proved the point with regards to a shechita, the Gemara is going to now continue to revisit this point of the karbanos. That we just said above, we do not accept a certain types of mumarim do we accept, and certain mumarim we don't accept their karbanos. So it's based on the pasuk mikem and min ha-behema. So the Gemara now asks, v'hameh ha-chanafka? Do we learn this halacha of accepting certain people's karbanos or not from the following that pasuk? Mer ha-chanafka, it's learned from a different pasuk, as the Gemara goes on to say in Amud Beis. What does the pasuk say? Me'am ha'aretz, the pasuk says. This is regarding karbanos of a chatas. It says, me'am ha'aretz. V'lo, Rashi points out on the top, me'am v'lo ko'am. Only from some of your nation do we accept their karbanos, but not everyone in the am. Who don't we accept, says the Gemara? Prat l'mumar. We don't accept the karban chatas of a mumar. Rabbi Shimon ben Yossi, Omer, he says differently, Mishim Rabbi Shimon, asher lo ta'asena bishkaga v'ashem. He who doesn't do it accidentally and has guilt. Hashem midiyasa mevi karban. Only if he does tshuva do we accept this karban. However, eino sham midiyasa, eino mevi karban. If he does al shkagasa, if he doesn't do tshuva, then we don't accept this karban. So we take a look at Rashi to explain this drasha. Rashi says, la first narrow line down. Says Rashi, Hayoshev midyaso, Shim haya yodea shu chaylev. Had he known initially that he was eating chaylev, which is aser, midaraisa, tachiv kares, tachiv chatas, haya yoshim mevatel meaverzu, he would have refrained from eating. So when is the time a person has to bring a carbon? Only if he knew he was doing an iser, he wouldn't have done it. So why did he do it? He was shogeg. But had you told him, listen, Reuben, that's a it's a chayl, he would have stepped away. That means what he had done wrong was only b'shogeg. But if it's a situation, had you told him it was chaylev, he would have eaten it anyway. That's not shogeg, that's called mazid. So that person who's mazid, who's lo shemi diaso, that person is not allowed to bring a carbon. So it sounds like the first day and the second day, Rabbi Shimon are saying the same thing. They're just learning different sources. Again, Me'am Ha'aretz tells me we only accept the carbon from Me'am Ha'aretz, which doesn't mean Am Ha'aretz like we say it. It means Me'am, only some people we accept. We don't accept the carbon of a mumar. Rabbi Shimon says the same thing. We don't accept the person who wouldn't shave me the yaso. So my benayo asks the Gemara, what's the nafkamina between these two positions, the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon? My benayo, I'm Rabbi Hamnuna, mumar le'echel chaylev ve'hevi carbon al hadam, ike benayo. That a situation where a person's a mumar, he loves eating chaylev. And he eats chaylev, but now he violates a different aveir of dam. He has nothing against dam. He happens to accidentally eat dam. Would we accept his carbon on the iser dam, even though he's a mumar on chaylev? So according to the Tanakhama, where it says prat le mumar, he's a mumar, even though he's a mumar le chaylev and not to dam, he's a mumar, he's a chaloshe mumar, and we wouldn't accept any carbon, even a carbon that's outside of his mamris, whatever the word would be. But according to Rabbi Shimon, we don't look about whether he's a mumar or not a mumar. We look at that particular aver that he did. Would he been shev midyaso or not shev midyaso? Even though by chaylev, had you told him he would have eaten it anyways, he wouldn't change his mind. But by dam, had you told him dam, he would have refrained. So he would be considered shev midyaso when it comes to iser dam. So according to Rabbi Shimon, we would accept the carbon on the iser dam from this particular individual. So that's a nafkamina, fine. But for our concerns right now, though, we have two different psukim telling us that we would not accept a carbon from a particular mumar. One by a chatas and one by a nedava. So why do you need both these different sources? And the Gemara explains, chadah b'chatas, chadah b'ola, one by a chatas, one by an ola, which refers to a nether, nedava of an ola. B'tricha, you need both sources to tell me we don't accept the carbon of an mumar. Why? Because the Ashmina had to be taught the pasuk that achatas, mishum de kaparahu, the guy's a mumar. So to achieve kapara, you need to really do tshuva. A guy who's a mumar is not doing tshuva, he doesn't deserve kapara, so maybe only by a chatas we wouldn't accept the carbon of a mumar. Aval ola, the ola doesn't really give a kapar to the guy giving it. It's gift to Hashem. It's a nice present to Hashem, whatever that means. So why not give a gift to Hashem? Maybe we should accept the doron, the ola, the nedava from a mumar. Therefore, we have to tell me, emalakabel, again, aval ola, which are only doronu, emalakabel, meaning we should accept the gifts, even though he's a mumar. Kamash mala, no, we don't even accept the doron. We don't accept the gifts of the mumar. And the opposite. Iyashmin and Ola, had we only taught the case of an Ola, that we don't accept the Ola of a Mumar, Mishum Delav Chiyuvahu, it's not a Chiyuv, it's not urgent. So say, do away with it, there's nothing really pressing to bring it, we're not accepting it. Avachatas di Chiyuvahu, where that's the Chatas, where he wants to fulfill his obligations. So since there's a certain sense of urgency that he wants to fulfill an obligation of his, Ema Lekaba Bine, we should accept the Chatas of a Mumar, Tzricha, to tell me we don't even accept the chatas of a mumar. We don't accept it. Bein leola, bein lechatas.
But it's a chatas only if he did it.
Bishogeg.
Right.
Yeah.
But here he did it if it is a mumar. He's doing amazing.
No, but let's say a situation where he were to do it. Notice that pasuk says we don't accept it. But let's say had we not had that pasuk excluding it, we would have thought you should accept in the case of a chatas. Let's say according to the Tanakam, the prat lemumar. So if he's a mumar l'dam, mumar l'chaylev, if he ate dam b'shogeg, we should accept his chatas in the dam. So the Gemara then says, v'chol heichas, we said above that the word mina behema, was saying that anyone who's like a behema, which means he's a poshi Yisrael, we should accept his carbon. But the word mina behema was a very denigrating term to compare a person to a behema. So the Gemara says, v'chol heichas, d'chsib behema, griyusahu. Is it always so belittling to be compared to behemoth? Is that always the case? Vaksiv, doesn't the pasuk say, Adamu behemoth toshi Hashem, man and animal Hashem will save. V'amar Rav Yehuda Amarav, Elu b'nei Adam shehein arumim b'das, It's referring to man who is naked of any das, any intention. This is actually a compliment. That they treat themselves like a behema in that they're very humble. So we see that man is being compared to behema in a very positive way. The humility of an animal is like the humility of a man. So we see being compared to an animal is actually something good. So the Gemara says, no, hasam ksiv adam u behema hacha behema lechuda ksiva. When you call an adam behema, those next to each other, that's actually elevating the status of an adam. He's so humble like an animal. But if you call a person just lush behema, you don't even call him an adam, just a behema, so that is something that's considered belittling. V'chol heicha dechsiv adam behema mal yusahi. So now you're telling me whenever you have the words adam behema next to each other, that's always a positive, it's always a compliment. V'aksiv doesn't the pasuk say, v'zerati as basis, so I'm going to plant the house of Israel. V'zera adam, v'zera behema, and that apparently is not a good discussion there. It's referring to chachamim and borim and people who are not really talmid chachamim, who are not serving and learning and am ha'aretz. So there, even though it says behem and adam, we're referring to man as am ha'aretz. So Gemara says, no, over there, hasam hu chelkiya kra zera adam l'chud, zera behem l'chud. It says adam u behema, the vav connects adam behema. But if it says zera adam, v'zera behema, the word zera is separating the two as independent points, in which case we're not comparing adam to behema in a very positive way. Okay, some technical points understanding the pesukim. Gemara now says, simon, nikla, as follows. Amar b'chanan, amar b'yakov bar idi, amar b'shu ben levi, mishim bar kapara, rabbi gamliel, b'yisino, nimnu al shchitas kusi v'asru. One time Rabbi Gamliel, and his bezdin Rashi points out, who is Rabbi Gamliel? Rabbi Gamliel was, in fact, the son of Yehuda Nasi, one of the later members of the Tanaim, and they one time they had a vote. They wanted him to make a decision finally. He was going back and forth in his Bati Midrashos, do we accept the Shechita of a Kusi or not? They finally decided, let's take a vote. They voted, Nimnu al Shechitas Kusi, it's Aser. You can't eat the Shechita of a Kusi. So Amar le Rabbi Zeira le Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, Shema lo Shama Rabbi, Ela b'she'en Yisrael Omin Agabov. Rabbi Zeira is saying, perhaps this is only true when no Yid was watching over them. But if a Yid's watching over them, we would accept the Shechit of a Kusi. So Amar Lei, his response back, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi says back to Rabbi Zeira, Amar Lei, Domi Hai Mirabon, this rabbi Rabbi Zeira referring to, Kedilo Gamri Inshi, like he didn't learn anything Shmaitz in his life. V'she'en Yisrael Omer Agabav L'meim Rabbi? Do we need to tell me a din if a Yid's not watching him? Do you have to tell me that's Aser? That's a Davar Pasha, it's Aser. Of course, if there's no one watching over him, it's Aser. The only time that they have to institute an additional Gzeira is even when a Yid is watching over them, even when Yisrael is Omer Agabav, even then they were Nimnu Alav and they asked that as well. So that was what was the din. So the Gemara says, Kibla Binei or Lo Kibla Binei. What, did Rabbi Zeir accept this idea or did not accept the idea? Did he accept the point that it was Aser even if Yisrael is Omer Agabav or he didn't accept this? The Gemara says, Tashma, there's a Maisa of Amar Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yassi, Ani Ra'isi as Rabbi Yochanan, She'achal Meshchit Askusi. I once observed that the great Rabbi Yochanan ate from the Shechit of Akusi. V'af, not only that, even Rabbi Yassi achal Meshchit Askusi. So this was the Maisa. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yassi both ate from the Shechit of Akusi. The Toi Bei Rabbi Zeir. Rabbi Zeir himself was bothered by this. He says, Lo Shmi Lahu, do you not hear the din that it was accepted that you can't eat the Shechit of Akusi, that Rabbi Gamliel and Beis Dino were Nimnu V'Gamrolav, that you can't eat from the Shechit of Akusi? Because the Avashmi Alei, had he heard it, Havim Mekabalei. So now we're trying to understand, what was he bothered by? Is the implication of Rabbi Zeir telling us that the E Havashmirle had the Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Asi heard that they asked a Shechit Askusi, Hava Mekabli Lehu, they would have accepted it? Oh, Dilma, perhaps are we saying, Dilma Shmirle, maybe they really Taka did hear it, but Velo Kibla, they didn't accept it as a ruling. So what's the din? Do we accept the Shechit Askusi's Asr or not? Hadr Pashal Nafshe, so Rabbi Zeira, while he's troubled by this point in his head, he's trying to figure out what was going on, why they're eating Shechit Askusi, he answered it for himself. He said, "Mistaver makes sense. The Shmilehu lo kiblu. It makes sense that both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Asi heard the ruling of Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dino, but they didn't accept it, and they thought you're allowed to eat from the Shechit Askusi so long as the Yisrael is Omer Agabav. Why? How did he conclude this? Because these Hagadaitech lo Shmileh. It had been true that they didn't hear of such a ruling. V'have Shmilehu, have the Mekabelehu, and had they heard it, they would have accepted it." So meaning they were just left out in the dark. They didn't know what was going on. So then how could that be? So you're telling me in essence, if all of Klai Yisrael violated, if all of Klai Yisrael rather accepted this Isser, and Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Asi never heard of this, so they violated this Isser, that can't be the case. Heicha Mistaya Milsa, how could a Kadosh Baruch Hu have it happen, L'meichel Isur, to allow Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Asi to violate an Isser? Hashem, we have a cloud that appears a few places in Shas, mostly in Chulin actually. Hashem, behemtem shel tzadikin, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mevi terkalei yadam. That we know there's a cloud that HaKadosh Baruch Hu we're going to see on tomorrow's daf. I think it's tomorrow's daf. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow the animals of a tzaddik to violate an Isser. We'll wait to see what that is in particular. So tzaddikim ein one second. Hashem behemtem shel tzaddikim ein beha HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi terkalei yadam. Tzaddikim asman lo kol shekein. So certainly the tzaddik himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wouldn't allow them to violate an Isser. So it must be that it was never accepted here. It's a very interesting Tosafot down here. Maybe we'll look at it in just a second, those who want to. So then the Gemara says, so that's how he concluded it must be that it wasn't accepted. And the Gemara says, further, if it wasn't accepted by them, if Rabbi Zeira didn't accept, so now that's the conclusion. Now, Rabbi Zeira himself, we wanted to know, did Rabbi Zeira accept this or did he not accept it? So now, if Rabbi Zeira didn't accept the ruling of Rabbi Gamliel himself when he was observing what was going on, he should have answered to himself, Lishnei lhu kan kishir sel omina gabav kan kisheni sel omina gabav. Had the ruling of Rabbi Gamliel not been accepted, that means the din is when Yisrael is omina gabav, it's mutter. When ein Yisrael omina gabav, it's aser. So then Rabbi Zeira should have had a very pasha din. Why was Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Asi eating the meat? It must be that it was omina gabav, that Yisrael is omina gabav. The fact that he didn't answer this way, it must be that Rabbi Zeira himself did accept upon it. El Shma Mina, Kibbe Minei Shma Mina. So he accepted upon himself, but it must be that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Asi didn't accept this ruling. I don't know how he passed on Halach Lamaisa, but that was the struggle that was going on. Now, there's an interesting Tosafot which talks about there are various cases that we say we find throughout Shas where certain tzaddikim did violate Isurim. So if you take a look in Tosafot, Dibur Maskil Tzaddikim, on the bottom of Hayam Rebeis, Tosafot says, Tema. There's a situation where there's only one Eid Zomim, he killed him. And the law is that you have to wait until both Eidim are Zomim. And he did something that was wrong. He killed a person incorrectly. And further, Rabbi Shmuel, Shakar Vahita, Beperakam of the Shabbos. Rabbi Shmuel one time was learning on Shabbos and he tilted the oil. And according to one Mandamar, he actually moved it around where he was violating the Isser of Mavir, which is Isser Deraisa of Melech Shabbos. So we have Tadikim who violated the Isserim. So Omeri Re says, Dafka b'midi de'achila in a kadosh baruch hu mevi takal yadam. Sheganai hu l'tzadik she'ocha davar iser. Of course, tzadikim make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes, even tzadikim. But the one type of mistake a kadosh baruch hu won't tolerate, he won't allow it to happen, is a davar iser. To allow him to put something us in the mouth, so far, a kadosh baruch hu won't let it happen. So that's a simple answer. Tosafot, there are a few other answers in Rishon. I forgot to look them up, but there are other answers how they get around this particular point. The reason why eating a davar iser is so bad, because the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that's metamtim es halev. It kind of like cuts off the heart. It has a very physical impact on a person. Well, other Yisrim have spiritual impacts, but if it was done b'shogi, if it was done b'ones, we accept it. But feeding, eating something usher affects a person physically, and metamtim es halev, and for that reason, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow a tzaddik to eat a davar iser. Okay, we'll stop here.